Beck, you want this? Oh, okay. Oh, it must be Jess. Good morning. Bienvenidos. Welcome to San Carlos Community Church and to the time of worship of the Lord. We're talking this morning about that very thing. Draw me near, blessed Lord. And the question becomes, how do I get near? What is there anything that I need to do to be involved in that nearness? Do I have to move closer towards God? Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 15 this morning. It's page 901 in the red Bibles. Page 901. John 15. We're looking specifically at verses 4 to 11, but I'll begin in verse 1 and reading it this morning. I think this is the most predominantly, most basic teaching in all of Scripture when it comes to our personal walk in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get this, and you've got it. Learn and understand this text in John 15, and I guarantee you, you will be nearer to God. You'll be nearer to Jesus. You'll have an intimate relationship with Him unlike anything this universe offers. John 15, 1. I am the true vine, Jesus is talking here to His disciples, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. That's what we talked about last week. Here comes this week, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We're asking the question this morning, the most basic question, what's involved in living in a vital, alive relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? What's this relationship that we're called to in Christ, we're called to abide in, or some translations use the word remain, remain in me and I'll remain in you. What's this relationship we're called to remain in? We talk about knowing Christ, and we talk about being in Christ. We even talk about walking with Christ and keeping in step with the Spirit of Christ. But how do we best explain what this vital relationship is? What does it really look like? And I think that's what Jesus is trying to explain here to the 11 disciples who are sitting with him here in the upper room that last night before he's about to be crucified at the Passover meal. And Jesus chose an analogy. We called it last week an allegory. He chose an analogy of a vine and branches to talk to his disciples about this relationship that he wants with them and the relationship he wants them to have with them. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Jesus also says in John 14, 6, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. We saw last week in our study that the vine represents Jesus Christ. It's just he puts it out there. I am the vine. One of his seven I am statements that he makes in the Gospels about himself. And Jesus is trying to impress down on these disciples that our source of spiritual nourishment comes through him to us as we abide in him. Now, we learned also last week that there's two types of branches that are connected to the vine. And I want to stress the word here, connected. connected. Two types of branches. Both have, we said last week, a relationship of some sort with the vine. They're connected to the vine. One type, Jesus says, is a non-fruit-bearing type branch. But it's connected to the vine somehow. We called this branch last week the Judas branch. And we called it the Judas branch because he was one of the original 12 disciples. But he was the one who got up that night and left Jesus and disconnected himself from Jesus the vine. And he went out to betray Jesus to the Pharisees, who would come and take him captive and put to death on the cross, crucified, dead, and buried. We also learned last week that those non-fruit-bearing branches, eventually they're cut off from the vine. And we learned last week that they're laid aside. And we learned last week that those non-fruit-bearing branches that were connected to the vine, at the point after they're cut off, sometime in the future, they're finally gathered together at some point in the future, and they're thrown into the fire, and they're burned. And we know from that analogy in Scripture that God is referring to the picture of judgment, eternal judgment. You see, these non-fruit-bearing branches, these non-abiders, we could call them that, who eventually stop abiding, stop being connected to the vine, we learn about them that they have all the appearances. They have all the outward look, all the outward signs of belonging, but in fact they are not real. Sooner or later that becomes obvious. You know why? Because the Scripture says it there in John 15, they bear no fruit. They show no sign, indication whatsoever of being a fruit bearer. I want to stress this again. I stressed it last week. Hear me, hear me, hear me. These are not Christians who lose their salvation. Jesus was not saying that. These branches who are non-fruit-bearing, who get cut off and eventually end up in eternal judgment. They were never Christians. They aren't Christians. They never have been Christians. And the reason is, Jesus says it, not Rich. Jesus says it because they bear no fruit. That is the evidence of a non-believing relationship with the vine, Jesus Christ. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as a Christian believer who does not bear fruit. No such thing. Now, the other type of branch that Jesus talks about is a fruit-bearing branch. This branch, Jesus says, remains in close connectedness to the vine and close connectedness to the vine dresser, God the Father, who is constantly pruning, constantly scraping off the false growth and the little sprouts that are sapping the energy from being fully fruitful. This is the branch that's being cleansed by the vine dresser God, so that all the spiritual energy of the vine is being utilized to the maximum potential, inflowing into the branch to bear more and more fruit. We said last week that how does that happen? Through suffering and trials. And tribulations are some ways, are often the things that God uses, that God allows to prune us in life. In the letter to James, it tells us that as believers, we should find a sense of joy and hope in the fact that God is indeed pruning us. That God is indeed allowing trials and tribulations to come along so that we're being refined and reformed and conformed more and more to a more luscious fruit-bearing branch as we abide in Jesus Christ. We ought to find great sense and hope and joy in the fact that God the Father is pruning us along life's way. How do you feel about that right now as you're being pruned? Do you find some hope in that? Do you find some joy in that? That God is snip, snip, snip pruning you so that you will become a maximum fruit-bearing branch connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. Well, now for the rest of today, let's talk about this living this vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus says in verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Now I think this is a plea from Jesus. I think it's a plea from Jesus for people to attach themselves to him in a very real, very sincere, heart-filled desire to have a vital relationship with him. No pretending, no going through the motions. Don't use false outward indicators like, oh, attending church, or going to a small group Bible study, or saying pithy things about a relationship with Jesus. No, Jesus says a vital, alive relationship is abide in me, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, let's define the word abide. The word abide means to stay in or remain. To stay in or remain. Jesus says, abide in me. If I could paraphrase that, he would be saying, stay close to me. Remain in me. He's saying to people like Judas branches, don't be like that. Be for real. Abide in me. Show that your faith is real. Stay in it with me. Be saved, you superficial branches. Be genuinely real in the vine, Jesus Christ. Now, the word abide, I think, is kind of like saying to the Judas branches, stick around. Don't leave. Stick in it here with me. Remain connected. Give some evidence in your life that you are real by remaining in me, by abiding in me. Now let's be clear. Remaining in Christ does not save you. Abiding is not salvation. He's not talking about salvation here. What he's talking about is abiding is the fact of the evidence that you are indeed saved and you've experienced the redeeming grace of God poured into your life through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abiding is the evidence of your salvation. You see, Judas gives the evidence that he's not saved. How? By the fact and action that he left. He disconnected himself from Jesus. He became involved with the cares of the world and the things of this life that he was more willing to settle for 30 pieces of silver than he was in a relationship connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. You see, if someone's really saved by faith in Jesus Christ, listen to this. The salvation of their character is the fact that they remain and abide in him. Jesus said the same thing in other places. In the parable of the soils, as he talked about the different soils, he says that when some of the seed fell among the thorns, which were the cares of the world, he defined what the thorns were. He said the thorns grew up and they choked out what looked like a legitimate conversion, and that was the end of it. It was never real to begin with because the seed perished and fell away and died. Now you might ask, and you should be asking, Rich, does the scriptures support this kind of a view, this kind of understanding of abiding and remaining versus leaving? And I want to tell you, absolutely, the Scripture supports this. Yes, it does. Over and over again, it supports it. Look with me. Let me show you a few to help you understand of the Jesus pleading with them to remain or abide in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us. I think John's pretty straightforward here. If they had been real, he said, they would have stayed connected to the vine. But he says, they went out. If they had been real, John says, they would have continued with us. What does that say? The true believer who is indeed connected to Jesus Christ and has experienced true salvation is indeed a true believer who stays in it in the relationship with Jesus Christ. And look at the challenge that John gives the believer here in verse 24 and following that statement. He says, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. Isn't that what Jesus just said in John, the Gospel of John? Then he goes on, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father, and this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. You see, the abiding Christian is called to remain in Christ. Why? Because when somebody leaves, like Judas, they give evidence that they were never real to begin with. And Jesus calls us here today, as apparent disciples, sitting here today, all of us, to show the truth of our discipleship by abiding in Jesus Christ and not being a Judas-type branch who stops abiding and departs and leaves. You see, a true believer abides. A non-believer sooner or later departs. And that, my friends, Jesus says, is how you tell if somebody is real or not. There's one example in another portion of Scripture that confirms what Jesus is talking about when he says, abide in me, and I will abide in you. Turn with me on your own for this one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Colossians 1, 21, it's page 983. Page 983. Thank you for listening intently this morning. Here in Colossians 1, 21, where Paul essentially says the exact same thing, that you can tell a true believer because he or she indeed abides. This is what Paul says in Colossians 1:21 to the believers. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. There it is. This is what you were like. You were hostile in mind and heart, but God came along through Jesus Christ, and he reconciled you to be holy and blameless and above reproach. Then look at verse 23. Here he brings it to a fruition about abiding. He says, verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, there it is. There's abiding. There's remaining. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. If indeed you continue in the faith. Is Paul saying that you can be saved if you hang on? No, he's not saying that at all. What he's saying here in verse 23 is that the legitimacy of your salvation will be determined by your continuance in your salvation day in and day out, in your abiding, remaining relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If indeed you continue in the faith, he says, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. You see, I happen to believe that Jesus is pleading with the disciples back in John 15, where we started this morning, verse 4. I think he's pleading with the exact same thing as Paul is saying here, only Jesus said it first. When we abide in Jesus, and he abides in us, our abiding will be the evidence of our salvation. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Let's look at one other example in the New Testament. Turn over to the book of Hebrews with me, chapter 3. It's page 1002. Page 1002, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Hebrews 3, verse 6, page 1002. The author records the word of God here. We don't know exactly who wrote Hebrews, but whoever did it, it's God's word, and it's God who wrote it. He ordained and he gave it. And says here in Hebrews 3:6, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house. Here comes the abiding. We are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Did you get that? If indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. What's being said here? He's not saying that we need to hang on to our salvation and not lose it. That's not what he's saying. Instead, he's saying the evidence that you really are in the house of God, in the body of Christ, the church, that you're indeed saved, is the fact that you hold fast to the confidence in Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Look down at verse 14 with me in this same chapter. Verse 14, chapter 3. For he says there, since then we have a great high priest, Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. What does he say here about abiding? Let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast to it. Hang on. Hang on to what brought you to faith in the first place. Stand firm in your confession of faith and don't depart from it. That's the evidence. That's the evidence of your salvation. Well, you say, Rich, so somebody comes along and they leave. Listen, I'm not talking about leaving the church. Everybody's leaving the local church these days. Reminds me of the story of the guy who was marooned for many, many years, most of his adult life on an island by himself. He'd spent most of his adult years there. And all of a sudden, one day a ship comes along and they see him up there and they send a rescue party on the island to the island to get him. And he's just so glad to see them and he starts to show them around. He's been there for so many years. He wants to, you know, kind of be hospitable. And he takes him over here and he shows him this little log house and he said, this is the home that I built with my own two hands. And he takes him a little farther over and he shows him another building, the second building. He said, this is my church. I built it with my own two hands. And he takes him a little farther down and he shows him the third building. He says, this is the church I used to go to. I'm not talking about leaving the church. I'm talking about leaving Christ. Jesus is talking about leaving Christ here. Leaving the vine. What about it? What about it? What about all these people that we have knowledge of? All I can say is this. If the relationship is real, if it's real, it's going to be evident, Jesus says. Jesus says it. They're going to bear fruit and you're going to see the evidence of their salvation in their life. That person would still be in it with Christ if it was real. There would still be an abiding, remaining relationship with him. But John says he went out from us. Because why? He never belonged to us in the beginning. He went out. He left that abiding relationship with Jesus Christ the Savior. Now, go back with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 4. Page 901. For there is a wonderful, wonderful promise here. A wonderful promise here for all believers. Jesus says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Quite honestly, I prefer the NIV translation at this point in this particular verse because it just lengthens it a little bit to a little deeper, clear understanding where he says, remain in me, and here comes the promise, and I will remain in you. That's the promise. You abide in me, dear believer, dear disciple, and I promise you that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will abide and remain in you. Can everybody in the world claim that promise? No. The only one who can claim that promise is the one who's constantly abiding in the presence of Jesus Christ, is the one who's constantly abiding in Christ in relationship with him. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. You know what? So many people come to church all over the world. And they sit in their seat thinking, you know what? I'm here. And they think somehow that because they came and sat in the doors of the church in a sanctuary much like this, they think, well, the Lord's here. That's not true. That is not true. That does not scripturally hold water. Being in church doesn't make the Lord be with you. The Bible is absolutely clear that he doesn't even live here in this church. Where does he live? He lives in the lives of believers who have given their hearts to him, who have repented of their sin and turned by faith to him, realizing that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to the Father except through himself, through Jesus, through the cross of Christ. And he lives by the Spirit of God in believers. He takes up residence in the life of believers in relationship through genuine faith in Christ. A permanent, eternal relationship where true believers abide, and he promises that when true believers abide, I will abide in you, with you. Now look down at John chapter 15, verse 8, if you would. We're going to use this to bring it to a conclusion this morning. I want you to see that Jesus repeats the same idea, the exact same idea from verse 4, only he uses different words, different phraseology. Here it is, verse 8. He says, by this is my Father glorified. Interesting statement. So this is how I glorify God, if I was to put it in the present tense. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. What is Jesus saying here? He is saying, bear much fruit. In the full sense of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, he's saying, be a real disciple. Remain connected to the vine. And as you remain connected to the vine, Jesus, the spiritual blood of that vine will flow through you, through the connectedness you have to Jesus. And you will prove, you will much prove, by the fruit that's born in your life, that you indeed are a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's just another way of saying in verse 4, abide in me. A real disciple doesn't come into the love of Christ and then leave again. She continues to be real. She continues to abide. That faithful, real disciple doesn't leave and walk away like Judas walked away. And understand this. A true disciple is what Jesus wants. He wants you and me to be a true disciple. His heart was broken by Judas, shattered by the unfaithfulness of this one he loves so much. And really, Jesus is saying to us today, listen, no more Judas branches. No more non-abiding relationship. I don't want that for you. I want you connected to me, the vine. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. Get as close as you possibly can. No more Judas branches. Be real. Abide. Remain. Be fruitful. And I will abide in you. I promise I will abide in you. You know, at this point, I think you would be asking me, Rich, how do I abide? Well, it's not complicated. It really isn't. Just believe that you are a branch. The Word of God says that you are a branch when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, that you're a branch. Just believe it. Take it at its face value. Take the value of the fact that the eternal Word of God says you are a branch connected to the vine Jesus Christ through your faith in Christ. Take it at face value. Just take your position in the vine. Get as close as you possibly can to Jesus Christ and stay there. Just stay there in that close relationship with Him. And as you're doing that in that close relationship, just staying in there with Him, let God prune you along the way. Let Him prune you all the stuff that He wants to shear off of you, all those nubbins. All that worldly crustiness, all that stuff your flesh is always rising up inside of you against the character and the Spirit of Christ who lives in you. Let God prune you along the way. Put aside all the things that distract you and the self-effort that you're always doing and all those things that rob you and are constantly robbing you of a deep, deep, abiding, personal, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus. Put that stuff aside. Let God prune it off of you and get into the Word. Get into the Word and you'll be an abiding branch. Just forget about fruit. Did you hear me say that? Forget about fruit. This is not about you and fruit. This is about you and abiding in a close relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what? When you learn to really abide closely, God will take care of bearing the fruit through your life. You will be fruit bearing because of your abiding relationship. Don't worry about fruit. You just abide. You just abide and He'll take care of producing that fruit through you. Just abide. And when you abide in your relationship with Jesus Christ, you will come vitally alive. Just make sure you're living close to Jesus. And I don't know if there's ever more time in all in history than when we need to live more close to Jesus than right now. People, pay attention to world events. Pay attention to what's happening all over the entire world and bring it into a proper perspective and vision through a biblical interpretation. Things are drawing nearer, nearer, ever nearer, closer to the end. Life has never been in this world more chaotic than it is today, right now in 2010. And Jesus warned us about these times. Therefore, is it not that much more important to you and to me that we draw ever, ever closer, closer, closer to abiding in Jesus Christ in this relationship with Him? Don't work on your deeds. Work on your life in Christ. And the deeds will come out of that abiding relationship with Jesus. And you know what else is going to come when you draw in close? The joy will come as well. The fullness of joy. That wonderful fullness of joy that Jesus promises. Look down at verse 11 and we close with this. He says, when you've abided and remained in me and I in you, he says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be half full. You're running on a tank of empty. No. When you're abiding in a relationship with Jesus Christ, these things I've spoken to you, these things, because I've promised to be in you, my joy will be in you. And not just a little smidgen of my joy, but my joy will be full in you, that your joy may be full. I don't know. Yeah, I do know. I want that. Do you want that joy? Do you want the fullness of joy in this chaotic cesspool of a world that we're living in, full of evil and trial and tribulation and the things that are constantly going wrong and explosions and earthquakes and bombings and horrendous raids on people's lives and callousness and crustiness and orneriness and anger and all the things of this world? What do I want? I want the fullness of joy in Jesus Christ in my life. And I don't want to settle for anything less than that. And if I was you, I'd pray for that. That you would experience it in the most intimate manner, because Jesus promised you, that you can have it. You may have the fullness of joy. I want you to know and experience the fullness of joy. Abide in Jesus, and you will. Let's pray. Lord, we make this so complicated. But you've said it's so simple. Just give us the faith and give us the discipline to move closer to you, Lord. That's my prayer this morning. Help us to stop making excuses. Help us to stop being busy with so many other things. Help us to put aside the good things of this life and go for the better, the best. Abiding in full relationship with you, the fullness of joy. And God, I have a sense this morning that there are a lot of people sitting here this morning who are not experiencing the fullness of joy from you, God. Lord, would you work that in our lives as we humble ourselves and draw near to you and abide in you? God, would you put a spark in our hearts today? An enthusiasm of joy inside of us that burns brighter and brighter and brighter till it's a blazing light of joy inside of us. And God, would you put a discontentment in us that we won't settle for anything less than that fullness of joy inside of us. We won't settle for despair, and we won't settle for depression, and we won't settle for anger and orneriness, and we won't settle for envy and jealousy and criticism and maliciousness or any of that stuff any longer. Because that's not of the Spirit of God. But we want love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. For against such things there is no law. And Jesus, we want your joy. In your name, amen.